Yankees playing winning baseball again.
They are, and they're playing, you know, fast baseball, and they're playing youthful baseball, whether it's Jazz doing his thing, as you said, Dominguez, who was on an absolute tear. Jason Dominguez is crushing it. You know, the funny thing
He did go 0 for 5 yesterday. I'm just saying.
Well, can't,
2 days ago.
I know he did. But then before that, he had 4 hits. He's rolling, man. And just the athletic stuff that he's bringing to the table. I think that the Cashman stuff yesterday, and it obviously all ties into DJ, as you said. Now, we have talked about DJ LeMahieu. I mean, talking is an interesting way to frame it. More like begging, imploring, screaming, yelling for the Yankees to get rid of him. All right, and this is not, let's just beat up on DJ LeMahieu. He's a proud pro, but he lost his way, and he was physically diminished. And I'll always respect him as a player, but it was time to go, and the Yankees finally did the right thing. See, but we yell and we get passionate about a lot of things with all of our teams. General managers and owners cannot listen to us.
Correct.
Otherwise, they would become us. They've got to have some restraint, and they've got to understand that we don't always see what they see and what they know. However, with the DJ stuff, I think that I think yesterday, the spark, the galvanized, whatever word you want to use, I feel like the Yankee world woke up a little bit. Yeah, I can't describe it any other way than that. Like, you talk to any Yankee fan today versus 2 days ago, it was stale, it was downtrodden, it was going in the wrong direction. I feel like a lot of other Yankee fans feel right now that things have changed, certainly a little bit on the diamond, but I think most importantly, there's been a little bit of a philosophical tweak, and I think that that's coming from Hal.
Well,
it's about time. It's about time you ate some of this money, but the Yankees were unable to move forward until they did something like this that we've been begging them to do for years.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that it's Hal. I just think that the Yankees, to use your word, experimental mode for way too long, and then all of a sudden things got real when they started getting pasted by the Blue Jays and losing a series to the Mets who had no pitching and falling out of first place. It's like, okay, time to make some moves here. And Jazz clearly was not thriving at third base.
Oof.
So now they were giving LeMahieu some runway, figuring, all right, well, we're paying him. He's a proven vet. He was a great Yankee, 2019, 2020, whatever. Gave him some runway. Clearly, it's over. Like, it's been over, but they gave him extra time just to make sure there was nothing left to squeeze out of DJ LeMahieu. He could not physically play third, meaning he couldn't make the throws. So he acknowledged that. The Yankees know that, which means if you're going to take him off of second base, which he wasn't very good at anyway,
no.
There is no use for DJ LeMahieu. And I told you this weeks ago or days ago, whatever. DJ LeMahieu's done. There is not a team that's going to pick him up. So I'm curious to see now what's going to happen with the next phase of him.
Hoff wants the Mets to get him.
I mean, it's absurd. No team should touch DJ LeMahieu, and I don't think any team will. Unfortunately for him, like, it's sad. Yeah, sure, but we're in the business of trying to win games.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. He's getting paid $22 million to do nothing. Show me a person in the entire world that wouldn't take DJ LeMahieu right now. $22 million to go away. Oh, he loves the game. That's great. He had some success. He's a big leaguer. He's getting paid $22 million to go home. Not to mention all that he's made. So he'll be fine, and the Yankees are going to be better off for it. Putting the pieces in place. We went over what the lineup should look like with Dominguez leading off. Now, there are still some issues. It's not a perfect thing here, whether it's Dominguez and the question marks about the outfield, whether it's platooning Ben Rice and either Goldschmidt or figuring out what you want to do with Stanton and maybe use Dominguez as DH. But they found a leadoff hitter, at least against right-handed pitching with Dominguez. And by the way, the Yankees, 2 straight days with the same lineup.
Yeah, I know.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Booney. Thank God. I never thought I'd live to see the day. Goodness gracious, and you see what's going on here. So it's nice to see the Yankees. It's refreshing, BT. Trimming the fat, getting rid of an unproductive player in LeMahieu, putting Jazz back at second, and having a consistent lineup for 2 games in a row.
Well, I mean, listen, you bigger picture, and the lineup thing is, you know, oh, hopefully that continues. It's certainly not going to change today. I mean, if Booney messes around with it today, you know, we're going to have a little bit of an issue with our buddy Booney here. I mean, come on, stick with the winning streak here, pal. I would imagine that he will. See, but again, bigger picture, like when you get rid of somebody like DJ, and you're right in the sense that there's no more value, like for the Yankees to continue to employ him, you're not going to use him as a pinch hitter because he's got no thump. He can't run, so he's not going to step on the bases for somebody, and he can't really handle defense in the middle of the diamond in terms of quickness at second. He's got no arm for third, so he's not going to be a defensive replacement. They're truly was no more value for him. Right. So that's the obvious stuff. But what I love about this, and again, I feel badly for the guy, not in the sense that he's, you know, his life is broken in terms of the money and the other stuff, but I do think you gloss over his love of the game. Like, I get it. I'd switch spots with him right now. Hey, WFN, you want to give me $22 million to go away? See ya. I'll do something else. I get that.
But that's not our problem.
I know it's not our problem, but I like to acknowledge it because he is a baseball player. I mean, they all are literally, but he's a grinder. And I respect that. And I know that it's like his heart's stomped on today because his career's over in all probability. And I just want to be a little sensitive to that. But bigger picture, I love that this sends a little bit of a message, unspoken, to the rest of the Yankees. Like, there was a staleness that permeated this team because I don't think anybody felt that there was ever going to be a repercussion for not doing your job. And if you and not just obviously the 70s when it was the Wild West and the Bronx Zoo, literally, but I mean, even in the 90s, you know, if you didn't get the job done, you're out, man. And even, you know, in the early 2000s, you didn't get the job done, you're out. It was volatile, it was unpredictable, and when you are worried about losing your job, you generally focus more and lock in more. And unfortunately, DJ's a bit of a lab rat in this experiment. But I think the rest of the locker room picks up on that. And so you get rid of a player who's no longer good anymore. And you also show everybody else, hey, dead weight. If we can get rid of a batting champion, you could be next. Right. Get in line.
And to Cashman's credit, we as fans have no patience. And that's what we loved about George Steinbrenner, is that he operated the way that we would. This guy isn't getting it done for 2 weeks. Get him out of here.
Sometimes love. Let's not overly romanticize it. He butchered and made our life miserable for a lot of years.
I understand. It. Also, was a great winner and holding guys accountable. Now, maybe overdoing so, meaning like, hey, you really shouldn't make a judgment in a bad week or a bad month or one bad year. And the Yankees now with Brian Cashman leading the way, they gave DJ LeMahieu every opportunity the last 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
If I'm saying cut him 3 years ago, they gave him, he was coming into the year as being their leadoff hitter and he kept getting hurt and they still want to salvage it. No, maybe he could do this. Maybe we could figure out in second base, maybe third, whatever. They gave him every opportunity to now where they don't have to question, it wasn't a rash decision and they don't have to question it. They evaluated it every which way they could for more, way, way longer than they should have. Similar to what they did with Gallo and Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of getting rid of those guys when we felt was the right time, which, by the way, would have been the right time because they never recovered, but they waited and waited and waited. And really, not much damage was done. They were in the World Series a year ago, and this year everything is still fine, meaning that it was the experimental phase, whatever, they've moved on. But yes, accountability finally from the Yankees and just doing the right thing for your baseball team. It's nothing personal. It's that he could not help the team. Like, at the bottom line, it's not the fans didn't like LeMahieu. It's that they want to see the team win. So what's better for the New York Yankees? Is it to roster DJ LeMahieu because he once was good and because you like him and because you're paying him a lot of money? No, he doesn't fit the roster because he's washed up. It's over. It's been over. It's a sunk cost. You give him the $22 million to go away, and now you're a better ball club because of it, and they will get even better when they get a third baseman.
Yes, and listen, obviously there's a lot to discuss because Cashman spoke, and we'll get into all that stuff. But, too, I think there's other elements here. And I said this the other day. I can't prove this, and you know, maybe this will come out in the wash, and eventually we'll get the answer. I think a lot of the reason, Sal, why the Yankees kept DJ LeMahieu employed for as long as they did, Aaron Judge. I really believe that. I can't prove that. But I really believe that, you know, the relationship between Judge and DJ was almost, you know, too respected from a Yankee perspective. And then finally just got to a point where it's no longer tenable. If you can't do your job, you just simply can't stick around. So I think that that's part of it. I think that now there are still pieces that I would sell because I already, you know, don't think for a second I'd get hit with that on social media because I was obviously happy last night. Oh, a couple days you want to sell. Now you're pumped up. Well, first of all, I am pumped up. And yes, I still want to sell. Two things could be true. But I think what this does now, it presents a lack of temptation, a complete absence of temptation to go back to a guy who was absolutely cooked, and now there's other things to address, and it seems like Cashman is ready to strike aggressively.
Isn't it wild, though, how, and this is what I'm saying, like, just a couple of days changed the feel with everything with baseball. It's been three games. And now it feels like, well, Everything is back to normal. Yankees are the best team for the majority of people. I'm not talking about you or I specifically. I'm just saying, like, the feel a week ago was that the Mets were left for dead and it's going to get worse after what happened with the Pirates. The feel 3 days ago with the Yankees was, the Blue Jays may bury them. And it's a long season. And there were legit reasons to believe in the Yankees if they just decided to make some small... Like, we know they need a third baseman. We obviously know they need bullpen help. And Cashman, that was the one thing he said definitively. Pitching is always about pitching. They're going to get a third baseman, but they will get pitching, whether it be starting rotation, bullpen, both, who knows. But they will add. But with a couple of small moves, Jazz back to second, which was right there for the take. You don't have to give up anything for that. Doesn't cost you any money. Doesn't cost you any prospects. You move him back to second. You move on from the dead weight of DJ LeMahieu. You're already better for it. You leave Dominguez in the leadoff spot. The energy has changed around this ball club. I don't expect that the Yankees are going to score 8, 9, 10 runs a game. We've seen them bully teams before, but it's starting to look a lot better, certainly offensively and defensively at the very least for the Yankees in the last few days.
Well, it has changed, and it does look different, and it feels better, and it's certainly like the Mets stabilized things against the Brewers. They came back, and then obviously carried into the Subway Series and had a really nice win the other night before last night's rainout, so we know the path of the Mets. I was not able to see such a similar, at least quick, renaissance for the Yankees, because I didn't think that the Yankees were going to do these basic things that changed. They should have done a long time ago. Understand what the Yankees force-fed their fans and the lineup card every night. And not good. An amazing second baseman not playing second base. You know, another guy who can't move, playing far too often. I know he doesn't hit from the right side. I get that, but what are the, you know, young, explosive, dynamic, multi-tool players? Certainly on the Yankees, if not baseball, and Dominguez, who shows more and more each night. They weren't even playing him every night. So those were three basic things that I didn't think that they would do. And now, certainly, I didn't think that they would DFA DJ. I saw that. I was genuinely surprised. And I was in the car at a... It's funny. I get all these alerts. You texted me when they fired Tom Thibodeau. That's how I found out. Yeah. I was listening to music after the show that day. After, you know, having Tiki for a little bit, then I want to hear music. Yesterday, I'm at a stoplight. And I just, you know, bang open social media for a second. I got a couple texts too. I'm like, wow, what DJs? I didn't think that they would do it. So there has been an awakening within the Yankees. You know, and I don't know. I don't know that this becomes suddenly the big, bad, throwback, vaunted, I'm going to outspend and I'm going to bludgeon everybody, New York Yankees. I hope it is. I'm not saying that. But at the very least, whatever they morphed into, and I know they were in the World Series a year ago, and we certainly appreciate that, but whatever they morphed into from a financial responsibility or a reluctance to move on from guys, it just seems like yesterday the Yankees turned the page. We're thankful for it, but I'm also here to say it's about freaking time.
All right, you said there was an awakening. What changed? Why do you think that's the case? For me, the answer is because all these years we could say, not good enough, not good enough. They could say 90 wins postseason, World Series, whatever. The thing that changed was they got beat up by the Blue Jays, swept in four games, which never happens. And then they lost 2 out of 3 to the Mets, whose pitching was depleted. So they lost 6 of 7 games to the Blue Jays and the Mets. That, to me, was the flare signals or the flare shot, whatever you want to call it, hey, we can't just keep riding this out and experiment much longer. Things have to change before it gets too far worse, and all of a sudden we're buried. So I think the losing 4 to the Blue Jays, losing 2 out of 3 to the Mets, that expedited both these decisions, which has resulted in much, much better baseball, even if it's just for a couple of games.
I think you probably identified, if not all, certainly some of the reasons and the impetus behind this. Yeah, I don't really disagree. Now, also understand this. The way the Yankees started the season, which was fun, and certainly, listen, you bag a lot of early wins, you're going to be in a good position no matter how much you stumble during the summer, which the Yankees generally do right about now. But think about how they were doing it. Aaron Judge was hitting .415, and Trent Grisham was an all-star. And for the first, basically, 6 or 7 weeks of the season, I was joking around with Sal, hey, did Soto catch Grisham yet? Did Soto catch Grisham yet? Like, you know, Soto was a little bit down, but the point really, well, they did a little jab having fun, but really the other point was to illuminate, geez, Grisham is having a hell of a year. So you knew that Judge wasn't hitting .410, that's the point, and you knew that Grisham wasn't going to bang 35 home runs and hit .309, right? So you knew things would change, and they did. Judge came down a little bit because he's human. Grisham's not playing every day, which I love. Now you've also lost Clark Schmidt, but the thing that you said, all right, Now, I'm not going to give you, I'm not going to give the Met fan all the meat that maybe they're seeking in relation to this one point, but I'll give you a couple of slices, right? I think it's naive to think that the Yankees on some level didn't react or aren't reacting to the Mets. Because when, you know, when the Mets historically, outside of, you know, a couple of years, like the Met fans would provide the negative energy and would almost put the Yankees off the hook. You know what I mean? Now that the Mets are on a bit of a rise here, and you got Soto and obviously Cohen spending money, I believe, you know, competition breeds competition. And forever, the Mets were never competition for the Yankees, and they are now, at least in terms of the spirit of the city, if you will, right? And I think that that's a little fuel. I mean, we could sit here and say, hey, Hal's not his pops. But, I mean, Hal's not some dolt who's sitting there that doesn't care about the Yankees and doesn't want to win. He wants to win differently than his dad. He projects it differently. But I promise you, any highlights or being obscured by the Mets or any shrapnel coming his way, you know, the man's got a tolerance. He's got a limit. And I feel like he finally hit it. And for Cashman to DFA DJ, you know that Hal had to say, cut the check, get rid of them.
PT, we started the show talking about the Yankees. Mets rained out last night. They will play two today. Game one starting at 12 o'clock. A split double dip in Baltimore. 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, so we'll be able to watch the Met game together here for the final 2 hours of the show. Talking Yanks right now. Peter is in Sussex County, New Jersey. What's up, Peter?
Thank you very much for putting me on, and good morning to you guys. First off, Pete? You guys need to take credit for yourselves, the whole station. Because on Tuesday, everybody was shaking the Yankees up because the Yankee fans were on the air telling these guys what they need to do. And you know what? They're doing something. But I'm going to tell you something. They're still out of place in this way. The Jason Dominguez needs to be playing center field. They need to utilize his speed to catch those balls in center field. He is an experienced center fielder. He never played left field until he came to the Yankees this season. And they're missing out on Bellinger's arm. He showed you what he could do. And he's played left field all the time, if not first base, for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So they got that wrong right now. But they don't need a third baseman. You know, sometimes you need that defensive player. You've got that player right now at third base, and you have full control of this young man.
No, I want a third baseman. Hold on, Pete. I want a third baseman. Well, no, I want more. They need more.
They know they do. They're going to get a third baseman.
I think so, too.
But I'll tell you this, and I'll let you finish, Peter. What I would do is get a defensive third baseman. Suarez sounds great, and I'm not going to, you know, yell and scream and say it's not a great fit. I want somebody, how about this, that puts the bat on the ball and plays defense at third as opposed to another home run strikeout guy. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, listen, I'm not going to argue about trying to get better, but I'm thinking what they really need is the bullpen. Even last night's game, I was scared that they were going to throw that game away. All right? You score that many runs, you should be blowing out your opponent. That bullpen is a terrible spot in the old.
Loizaga is broken. You could just say it. I mean, he doesn't have a shred of confidence. He is just, he's batting practice. Now, maybe last night was the start. Let's not go nuts. The start of the rebuilding of Luke Weaver.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, Devin Williams, he looked pretty good last night. I'm still a little fearful of the big spot just because he hasn't done it in New York, and he was very, very shaky to start his Yankee career. And I don't, was that nerves? Was that lack of fastball, which didn't differentiate the changeup? I don't know. But they need two bullpen arms, they need a starter, and they need a third baseman. Like, this to me is the start. And I don't know if they're going to get all those. I think they're going to try. I do believe that Cashman's incredibly motivated to bring difference makers in. I don't know. Give me one.
Give me the biggest need. I know what you said. They need multiple.
Have to get bullpen arms.
Yeah,
you cannot win with these arms out there.
Agreed.
No
now,
chance.
I do think Weaver hit a little bit of a confidence issue. Some of it was just bad luck, too. He gave up the home run down his first game back right down the right field line with the Yankees at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
The other one, he was a victim of the catcher's interference, which led to George Springer.
In Toronto.
Yeah, now Springer's the hottest hitter in the game and tattooed one. Adam Ottavino was talking about this on Baseball Night in New York. The McNeil one was bad, but Ottavino brought up an excellent point saying, like, Weaver, because of the damage that was done to him, not as confident and not throwing the pitches that he should be throwing to McNeil in that spot. So I think Weaver will get back on track. Now, your point about Williams is a great one. I think Williams is fine. In the regular season, Weaver and Williams will be fine in the back end. But no matter what happens, come postseason time, you just can't trust them. You just don't know. But you could say that about a lot of closers in Major League Baseball.
Outside of number 42, I mean, there's been even John Wetland, who won the MVP, the World Series MVP back in 96,
yeah, right,
was always walk with a tightrope, you know, a walk, a bloop, and he'd have to wiggle out of it. Very few are like Mariano or Eckersley in his prime, or guys like Bruce Sutter or Lee Smith. So I don't need absolute perfect. I don't need Cooperstown material, but I can't have AAA arms setting up the closer. That's got to change.
Correct. And even with Williams and Weaver, if you say they're going to be at their best, the Yankees, to win a division, they're going to need at least one more arm. Loazaga is toast for at least this year. These bullpen guys, who knows, maybe bounces back at some point. But right now, they got to stabilize this year, especially with the injury to Clark Schmidt with the rotation. Schlitter looked good last night.
He looked really good.
Yeah, but
he looked good.
Okay, but are you going to rely? It's one start.
No,
it's 5 innings. I'm just saying, the Yankees need pitching. So as badly as they need a third baseman, and they do, and I think that they're going to get one, they desperately need, at the very least, bullpen arms and probably a starter, too.
You know, real quick, I was driving around last night. They had, football conditioning, the kids, right? So I just dropped Colt off at the field, and I had to go do some stuff, and I had the station on.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to the pregame, and I wound up texting Susan. Susan was interviewing the scout who found Schlitter.
Okay.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
I think I'm not saying that right. Schlitter, right?
Yes.
Cam Schlitter. And, you know, his dad, I heard the story about his dad being chief of police up in Massachusetts and blue-collar kid. And the scout also found Volpe and Ben Rice. So it was a pretty good conversation. And then, and I didn't know this because I haven't really seen him pitch, a little bit in the in spring training at the end, but I don't really remember it. You know, we knew he threw gas. And last night he hit 100 five or six times, and he did, you know, that was obvious. Effortless. He's 6'6". It's on you immediately. Do you know that he just developed a cutter this year, like in the spring? And his slider is 90. And again, I'm not going, that's one start, but you look at how he throws the baseball, and I think I think his demeanor. I watched his post-game interview. He wasn't all wrapped up and all gaga, wow, I can't believe I'm here. He's like, this is what I dreamt of. Very matter of fact,
yeah,
this is what I expect. It's great to help the team, and I can't wait to get the ball again.
Looks like he belongs, but forget about him for a second, because who knows? Again, it was his first start, but we'll see. The one thing that I think was evident, whether it's metrics or just your eyes, the Yankees need a power arm. Because he's the one guy already that threw the fastest six pitches that have been thrown this year.
Yes,
that can't
happen.
That
stat. So that's a wild stat.
Whether it's in the starting rotation or certainly in the bullpen, Yanks can benefit from I think more so the bullpen. They need a power arm.
Well, I think they need two, actually.
Yeah, okay,
I do. I would say one in the start. And,
maybe he could be it in the rotation.
Yep.
Even at the back end, filling the spot of Clark Schmidt.
He could be. He could be. And listen, Will Warren throws hard. Now, there's a lot of wild cards here with Rodon. You know, he's been a little wobbly against the good teams. We know the story with Rodon. Yeah, the stat that Sal just referenced here, his fastball average, four-seam fastball average last night was 98.7 miles per hour, the highest average fastball for any Yankee this year. Throws gas, dude.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Manny is calling from New Hampshire. What's up, Manny?
Hey, man.
Good morning, boys. Let me get you off the box. I don't want to insult anybody by, having too loud here. Thank you for letting me call. I wanted to say a couple of words, not in support. I mean, I would love to know what DJ thinks he could do. If you sat the man down and said, DJ, where do you think you fit on a pro team?
Yeah.
I mean,
a proud fighter.
Remember when we brought him up from Colorado?
Yeah.
And I'll give you this. Compare him to Devers. If you asked DJ to be the bat boy, he would have done it. And I'm being a little on the far end of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Devers is Devers. We know what that is. And I'm not a Sox fan. I'm a Yankee fan. But the bottom line is, DJ, how many positions did he play? He covered everything in the infield that I can remember. First base all the way around.
Okay, and it's over.
Great guy. But I wonder, seriously, I wonder what he would say. If you sat him down and said, what do you want to do? Do you think it's over? Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see the guy get a slot with the Mets.
What, the Mets?
Kind of fill-in, probably won't.
The Mets.
Contagious Cone second base.
Are you insane, Manny? Are you insane?
No, I wouldn't put him I wouldn't put him on second base. I would see where he wants, where he would fit.
Let me ask you. Forget about asking LeMayu. Where do you think DJ LeMayu would fit on a ball club right now?
You know what? I don't.
Bingo.
I can't say. I know. I'm answering my own question. I know what I'm saying.
Over. And we get it, Manny. And thank you for the call. Good stuff. I get that part of it. LeMayu was a great Yankee for a period. The machine. The machine, unfortunately, is broken down. It's okay. Like, this happens. It's sports. It's life. You get older, you can't produce. LeMahieu, I'm sure, wanted another shot to play second base. Problem is, he couldn't do it. Physically, he couldn't play third. He wishes he could, because maybe he'd still be here. If he could throw the ball across the diamond, he would probably still be at third base.
Which would not be good for the Yankees, because, again, he just doesn't hit enough and all the other things, doesn't run. You know, listen, the extra rope that he got, largely attributable to money, let's not fool ourselves here, but the thing that I never understood, like, that's a lot easier to accept. And I know you used the term great Yankee. I don't call him a great Yankee. He was a great champion. Yankee.
No, dude,
I
understand that. His home run in the 2019
understood.
ALCS.
It was like, amazing.
I mean, that is one of the great moments that I remember in recent years with this iteration of the Yankee team.
I'm not dispelling that. I'm not disputing that. But like the Jeters and the Moes and the Bernies and the Tinos. Those are the great Yankee. He was good. He was a really good hitter. And really, he came at the right time because there were a lot of swing and miss. And
he was a perfect compliment.
It was a good addition. And his bat-to-ball skills, you know, really, especially from center field to the right field foul pole, was terrific. And just to answer the question that the caller brought up, like, what would DJ say if he was asked about what he could still do? Well, I started to say, but I wanted to let the caller go. You know, proud fighters are usually the last ones to know that it's time to just remain on the stool and not get up for another round. So he's probably in his own mind thinking, I could go somewhere, a team that's on the cusp of a championship, be that pinch hit or whatever it might be. But I will disagree with you in this regard. I absolutely think he's worth a veteran minimum pickup. I mean, for peanuts, you're paying him, I don't even know, I think it's $1,000, $2,000, whatever the vet minimum is. I would kick the tires on him. It just needed to end here.
But what about him is appealing?
Well, think about this.
I don't care what the price is. Okay, veteran minimum, that's great.
Yeah, I know. But if you're not getting anything, it's not worth a dollar.
Tell me, seriously.
Well, I think he can play second base. I know he can't play. No. I know he can't play third.
I mean, physically, he can't play third.
Because of the arm.
Correct. Like, he can't play third. Second, he's not good. He could play there. I just don't think he's good.
I don't think he's very good either in terms of range. Now he's got good hands. Now at least let's hop in, dude. I know you're foaming at the mouth.
Yes, I really am.
Come up. Let's go.
Okay,
this
so
guy
let me explain to you why. First of all, the Mets just lost Starling Marte, who was batting since June 1st, batting .324 with a .794 OPS. Okay, what was DJ batting since June 1st?
About .320. He's been on a nice run.
.310, .754 OPS, 27 hits. I know he's a single.
What was his OPS?
.754.
Yeah.
Which is better than a lot of
Huff.
No. Hold on. Hear me out. I don't need him to play. I don't need to play a position.
He's a waste of a roster.
No, it's not.
You don't want to mention a guy LeMahieu? When they signed that stiff Jed Lowrie instead. You know how much crap I got on social media years ago? When I said, matter of factly, boy, the Yankees won up the Mets again because they got LeMahieu and the Mets got Lowrie. Go back and check that. I should retweet it and you look at the mentions. You idiot. The Mets. Jed Lowrie so much better. Meanwhile, LeMahieu goes on to be a batting champion with the Yankees. Yep. Lowrie played maybe 4 games. That's when the Mets should have got LeMahieu. Now, he's worthless. He's a waste of a roster spot. He can't field, can't throw, can't run, and he's maybe a singles hitter.
That's fine, but guess what? What do you think Starling Marte was? Marte wasn't like a double
hitter. Athlete, though, Huff.
But he's been hobbled. He could barely get to first base.
I'd still rather have Starling
Marte. He walked and could barely get to the first base.
And by the way, forget Marte. Vientos is going to get those at bats for now,
but he doesn't hit the ball anymore. There's a.
So you'd rather LeMahieu than Vientos.
I'm explaining to you why there is a veteran minimum for 2 weeks. Give him a shot. Give him 2 weeks. What's the harm with that?
You're wasting a roster spot.
But for what? So Mark Vientos can go up and strike out?
By the way, the Yankees don't have a third baseman. You don't think that they could use LeMahieu if he were worth it? They're paying him $22 million. What is LeMahieu going to do? You're going to keep him on the bench to have him be a right-handed DH and bat ninth? Be a slap hitter? No, thank you. Good God, he can't move.
How did you not see his tweet yesterday?
I did see it.
Oh, you
did? I ignored it, yeah.
So, Huff, here's the only problem with it. And I'm a little more with you, not much. I mean, I'll give it an ounce of thought. Like, maybe he can regenerate a little bit and help a team out a little. Like, Sal's just slamming the door. I'm not quite doing that. But if you're going to support the guy, you got to spell the word here right. Eagles, hear me out. H-E-R-E. Hear me out.
How did I spell it?
H-E-R-E. Hear me out.
Oh, I did? I didn't realize
that. Yeah, it's all good. Mets should pick up DJ LeMahieu. And listen, you know,
I was multitasking. I think it was a game when that happened.
I don't know if you were just fishing for the engagement. I actually think you believe it a little bit. The problem is...
I do. I don't say crap that I don't... I'm not an idiot and go and say, let me get some clicks here. I'm not a moron like that. I don't do that garbage. I go out there, if I believe it, I say it. And maybe I spelled the word here wrong, but I do. I went and fully believe that DJ LeMahieu, for a veteran minimum, pinch hitting for the Mets or maybe playing DH a couple games is more valuable than Travis Jankowski.
Well, by the way, did you see they DFA Jankowski?
Yeah, thank God.
He dropped out a good punt the other night.
DJ.
And who's up? Who's up for Jankowski?
DJ?
Acuna.
Oh.
And they just brought Acuna back up.
Guess what? Can field at a high level, can run like the Dickens. And
like the Dickens. What is this, 1920?
Yeah.
Grandfather Sal with his pipe and the fire pit his bourbon.
Give me the new one. What would be the new one?
You run like the wind, run like a gazelle, run like a deer, you know.
Whatever. Dickens, like wind, whatever. But either way, he can field, he can run, and I like his offensive game.
Yeah, I like Acuna too, but the only thing, and I'm going to side with Hoff again a little.
Not for the Mets, you're saying?
No, for the Mets for a ticket, or anybody, just general concept, DJ's viability. Moving forward. Listen, there's no question. On a baseball field, Acuna at this point does everything more electrically than DJ. The one thing that I don't know that he could still do is, or that I think DJ maybe could still do, is give you a better at-bat in a high-leverage spot against a pitcher because his mind is still sharp, his contact rate is still pretty good. I'm not saying that's why you sign him. But Acuna, and I like him, two on, two out, up a run, down a run. Will he get overwhelmed by a deep arsenal for a veteran pitcher? I don't know, but I know the DJ won't get mentally overwhelmed.
Here's what I would do with LeMahieu if I were the Mets or anybody else. Oh, try to hire him as an assistant hitting coach. Maybe at this point he could be an assistant hitting coach. I don't want him anywhere near the diamond, though. No, not in between the lines. No, thank you. Two things for you. One baseball, one non-baseball. We'll get to both here. Which one you want first?
Is the non-baseball one a time-consuming, lengthy?
No.
Hit me with that first.
I'm just going through my news feed here.
Okay.
Residents warned about bear sighting in Fairfield.
Dude, I got the text yesterday.
A black bear, dude.
I got the text yesterday.
What the?
Yeah, welcome to Jersey, dude. I got the text.
Messing with this stuff. What do you mean, welcome to Jersey? A black bear?
Yeah.
This keeps happening, these news updates with this stuff.
Could be a polar bear, which is worse. Could be a grizzly bear, which is worse.
Well, you wouldn't see those here, would you?
Could be a Kodiak bear, which is... Oh, God. I mean,
polar bear. You know, man versus bear. You know all about these bears.
You wouldn't see a polar bear in New Jersey.
Okay,
no.
What about the other one, the grizzly bear?
You wouldn't see a grizzly. You could see...
A bear's a bear.
Well, that's not necessarily true. A shark is not a shark.
Well, I ain't messing with either of them.
Well, neither am I, but if you think about, like, the aggressive types of sharks, like, yeah, you know I love fishing, so I know a little bit about, not a ton, but... You know, a tiger shark, a bull shark, a great white, those are incredibly aggressive. For the most part, every other type of shark is not really looking to do anything to you.
I don't care. We were in Cape May, whatever it was, 2 weekends ago, and I've never had this happen before. The lifeguard on the beach, blowing the whistle, everybody out, get out, and I am running. I wasn't even in the water.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but it was because of thunder and lightning. I thought, shark, oh my God, one looked at me. But dude, a bear? Like, what are we kidding
here? Okay, so maybe this will be a little lengthier, not a ton, but I do remember this story. So when we first started going to Myrtle Beach to play golf, this is 15, 18, almost 20 years ago, right? It was a short trip, only a few of my buddies, usually it's more, but this was like four of us, whatever. Long story short, we're out all night, probably till 4 in the morning because we were so young, right? Way before marriage, way before kids. And I'm getting, we jump in the ocean, right, Sal, just to kind of wake up. And then go to, like, you know, maybe get some wings. Get some wings, and then we have another tea time. So we got to get going here. We got to regenerate. So there's a guy. Now, we are fairly deep out in the ocean, at least past my waist, right? And it's windy. I can't hear what the guy's saying. And I see him fishing from the shore. And like an idiot, I'm like, what is this guy yelling at us because we're in the way of his line? Right. I don't know what he's yelling. I think he's yelling. I don't know what he's yelling. So finally, I'm like, what? We're like, what's that? Like, huh? He goes, there's a shark. Get out. I swear to God. Now, I don't know how big it was, but it wasn't a little baby sand shark, and it wasn't Jaws. I see the dorsal fin, and That?
What?
Yeah. It right next to us. Now I'm like, I'm not a good swimmer, so I can't swim. I'm trying to run like high step, but like Dion. Yeah, yeah. I can't do that either because the water's up to my waist. Dude, you want to talk about being terrified?
Ooh, no, thank you, man. That's probably a bigger fear than a bear. But what are you supposed to do? Like, it seems with all these news alerts in Jersey with the bears, if you do see one, like, I want to be prepared.
Okay.
If I came across the black bear, what are you supposed to do?
I'll tell you. Exactly. Did you actually read the text? Because one of the texts that they
I just saw the post here. I didn't get the text because I guess I'm not Essex County.
Okay.
But I it's close enough.
Okay. I'm going to send them to your yard.
Yeah, no.
All right, so what you do is there's
poor little Maddox. What if he uses Maddox for his lunch?
He'll use Maddox as a toothpick.
Yeah,
it won't even be a meal.
I know.
I would say this is what you do. Now, the challenge is remembering to do this when you're staring at a bear. I mean, we could talk about this on the radio or on a text message. What you do is you get as tall and as big as you can.
You insane?
I swear to God. Look it up. Dude, I did a bear show, man. I mean, I know you're gonna laugh when I say that. Like, I worked with a bear.
That doesn't sound like a smart risk to go. You're gonna pretend to the bear that you're big and tall and scary?
Yes. You're going to try to intimidate the bear. You're not gonna make eye contact. Hoff, look it up. Google. Look it up, please.
Are you insane?
No, no, I'm accurate. You get as high as you can and you yell wildly. Like an animal.
Like
almost.
What? Give me an example.
Nah, I'm not going to do what? So I get a gif out there for the rest of my life, you idiot. I'm not gonna do that. No, I won't do it. Get big, get tall. Now, since you're not tall to begin with,
that'd
be a little challenge. You do not make eye contact. That's the scary part.
Don't make eye contact.
That's what they
do. No problem. I'd run the other way. What if I ran the other way? Or
don't run. That's I'm getting to the. I know the whole list, dude. Back away slowly in a non-threatening. Now, again, this is what.
So you're supposed to look at him, but don't make eye contact.
Yeah.
Sounds like Imus. Can't make eye contact with Imus.
That's a good line.
You're supposed to look. That's what I was told here as an intern.
Yeah,
so
that's the same thing.
You're supposed to not make eye contact, but watch him and back away while putting your arms up.
No, after you get big.
Do the big sound like that.
Uh-huh. Remember the thing like when Luke Skywalker was in the, when his legs were trapped in the ice and that big white whatever thing was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he finally got the lightsaber from the snow and you've got to be aggressive. Now the key is you've got to be aggressive first, and then by projecting aggression and size and dominance,
you buy yourself some time to get the hell out of there.
No, but by doing that initially, again, this is what bear behavioralists and like science, whatever.
Yeah.
The bear should receive the message. This thing is not messing around, and then you back off slow to let them know I can be aggressive and big, but I don't want to be. Let's go our separate ways. Hey, good luck remembering that when you got a 1,500 pound bear staring at you.
What if I just run the other way? What is that?
Don't run.
Because then he's going to chase me.
Run. Yes.
So AI says this is great. If a black bear approaches you, remain calm and assess the situation. Okay, first, that's an X.
Right.
Make yourself appear larger by raising your arms and jacket.
Check.
And you're standing on a rock or stump. Then after that, it says, speak to the bear in a calm, assertive voice and back away slowly.
What? Like back away slowly. Check.
Like hey, BT does with the Orbivites. Hey, big girl, it's going to be okay. I don't understand that. That makes no sense. Yeah, that sounds great. In reality, you see a bear. Your instinct is to get the hell out of there.
I don't know how anybody has the composure and the wherewithal to remember everything that I just said and what he just read, and to try to do that when a bear is staring at you.
Now, I guess the key is when you find the bear. If you find him while you're in your car, you could just stay in the car and, like...
Of course, yeah, get you out of the car. What are you, nuts?
Well, but what if he comes to the car? What, he can't break through the window?
I'll take my chance with him smashing metal and, nine-inch glass.
All right.
I'll run him over is what I'll do.
If you see him in the backyard and you're in the house like Carmella did on The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah,
then
yeah.
Then you're okay.
Well, then you get the shotgun.
Well, wait, did she see him when she was outside and then ran back in?
Yes. Yeah, and then Tony slept with the shotgun.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, he was waiting for him.
He wanted to put something right in his chest.
It does say, by the way.
Tony was, in fact, the bear. That was the...
Correct.
Go ahead.
If the bear continues to approach, prepare to use bear spray and fight back if necessary.
Yeah, well, bear spray, yeah. But usually people, like if you're if you go to Montana, the Dakotas, like, and you're actually on expeditions, and you will have a weapon.
New Jersey? Do you normally walk around with bear spray?
That's what I'm saying. No.
How many bear sightings in freaking Jersey are there? This is not an issue on Long Island.
Dude, I'll tell you, I'm sure everybody does. Like, the healthy fear that I have for animals, I've come across gators on golf courses. Ooh, like, terrifying stuff.
But the gators run fast or no?
Yeah, they fly.
But they got those little arms. It doesn't make sense.
Hey, listen, those little arms move, man. Yeah, they are fast. A matter of fact, speaking of bears, my buddy Scott and my buddy Frank were fishing one day, and they caught, it was at a lake, so it wouldn't have been like stripers. I think it was bass. Anyway, and they were fairly decent size, and they were coming out, a couple beers, come and cook them up on the grill, whatever. They're walking back, and they literally walked into the presence of a bear. And they had the presence, because they love fish, to take the fish and throw it.
That's smart.
And they just, then I think they may have run, which is what you're told not to do, but they're still alive, so I guess it worked out.